Well, if you could turn back to Psalm 100, that would be helpful. Page 604, if you've got one of the church Bibles. So how are you feeling about the prospect of 2018? What are you looking forward to as for this new year ahead? Perhaps it's a major birthday for you this year. Perhaps you're going to be reaching double figures for the very first time. It's going to be the big 1-0. You're going to turn 10. Maybe it's a significant anniversary. Maybe you'll have been married 5 years or 25 years or 40, even 50 years. Could be that you've got a particular holiday planned and you're booked. You're counting down the days. You're really looking forward to it. Or 2018 could be the year when you're expecting to move house, go and take up a new job. Maybe this year is going to be the year you graduate or you get married or you hope to get engaged. Maybe this year is the year you're going to finish exams and head off to uni. Maybe it's retirement after many years of work or becoming a grandparent for the first time. Something in 2018 that you're excited about and looking forward to. Or maybe it's just some major events that are coming up that you can't wait for. Maybe you're excited that 2018 is World Cup year in football. The odd years are always bad because there's no major football event, but we're back onto an even year and the World Cup is coming. Or you're looking forward to some of the films that are due to be released this year, or you just can't wait for Death in Paradise to start back again on Thursday this week. Whatever it is you're looking forward to. What about the things that you're not quite so looking forward to? Perhaps it's the big 4-0 for you this year. And you're much less excited at that prospect. Your kids have thought you were old for years, but now the numbers are finally going to make it official. You're going to reach 40. Perhaps this year you've got some exams that you're dreading. Maybe you're about to go off and head off to a new school during the year, which is exciting but also a bit daunting for you. Maybe there's a change in the family that you're nervous about. Maybe one of the kids is going to be leaving home this year for the first time. Maybe the parents are moving closer and you're nervous about that. Or this year has got some difficult medical treatment coming up, some surgery booked in. Or you're just going back to that job on Tuesday that you really were so glad to finish just before Christmas. You're really not looking forward to Tuesday morning. We make lots of plans, don't we? And even though we think we've got an idea of what is coming up in the year ahead, there are going to be lots of unknowns for us, lots of unexpected events, things we never anticipated or planned for. And as we open the Bible this morning, God doesn't help us to plan for the future by telling us in detail the things that lie ahead for us. He's not going to tell us what's happening in May of this year or September, it's going to be a tough month for us. But he does tell us some things about the year ahead. He tells us what he's going to be like in 2018, what he's going to do and what he's going to be like. And the good news this morning is that's exactly what he was in 2017 and 2016 and all the years before. Because God is consistent. God is not changing. The passing of the years don't make a difference to what God is like, to his commitment to us. So the calendar changes and our circumstances change, but God doesn't. And so whether today we're excited or nervous about the thought of 2018, whether we would say we are fearful or expectant or concerned or hopeful, whichever of those things, our year is in God's hands. So this morning we're going to see that from Psalm 100 that we read together earlier. The psalm is short and simple, and I hope that's what the sermon will be this morning as well as we look at it together. Just two things to see from the psalm. First, our need to look up and know that God is great, and secondly, to look forward and know that God is good. So firstly then, to look up and know that God is great. If you have a look at verses 1 to 4, you'll see that there are 7 different commands here in those first 4 verses. You can trace them through with me. And 6 of them really are a response of worship, a response of adoration to God. There's a call to shout for joy in verse 1. There's the call to worship the Lord, verse 2. And to come before him, again, verse 2. Into verse 4, we're told to enter his gates with thanksgiving. And at the end of that verse, to give thanks to him and to praise his name. Six different commands to praise God and to give thanks to him and to honour him. But in the middle, there is the seventh, which we skipped over. And it's really the foundation, if you like, the bedrock, the reason for that praise. And it's there in verse 3. It's to know that the Lord is God. To know that the Lord is God. Know meaning to acknowledge, meaning to realise, meaning to be aware that the Lord is God. And we need that going into 2018, don't we, to know that the Lord is God. We need to know, don't we, that it's not Donald Trump, and it's not the EU, and it's not North Korea, and it's not political parties, and it's not political systems, it's not climate change or natural disasters, it's not your boss, it's not you, not even your parents. Who is it who controls the macro events of this world and the micro events of our lives? It is the Lord our God. And so nothing can happen to you. Nothing can happen. No anxiety, no joyful, wonderful, life-changing moment. None of that can come your way except through the mighty and the strong hands of God. We need to know that he is God. You won't be able to control 2018, will you? You won't be able to control even the events around your own life, let alone the lives of others. But you don't need to do that because God is already doing that for you. The Lord, the God that we honour here Sunday by Sunday, the God that we pray to and the God that we sing to, is not a little local beastern God or a wider Nottingham God. He is the Lord God who made heaven and earth and everything in it. So if 2018 is making you nervous this morning, if you're worried about that, you need to draw breath and realise, be aware that the Lord is God and the Lord is great. And we need to spend a bit more time, I think, in 2018 looking up and out at him and less time looking down and in at ourselves. Spend time looking in at ourselves, we will end up miserable and anxious. And there's a place, of course, for self-examination. There's a place for confession, there's a place for repentance, all of those things are important. But the sins of self-preoccupation and self-pity and over-anxiety or over-control, they need the remedy of looking up and out and looking and seeing him and knowing that he is God. The verse gives us a couple of pictures to help us as we think about this. First, there's a picture of God as a potter. He is the one who made us. It is he who made us. And that doesn't mean quite so much here that God is our creator, but more in the sense that he constitutes his people. He gathers his people together. We are formed and set apart by him. So God is our creator and rescuer. God speaks this way about himself in Deuteronomy 32. And because he made us, we belong to him. We are his. We're his. Something that we form and make belongs to us, doesn't it? And we treasure it. Kids, think about the new Lego set you had for Christmas. That one that took you a long, long time to put together, where Dad came along and tried to help, but wasn't any good really. But you managed to get it made, and it was great, and you were so pleased with it when it was finished. What did you do with that model when you'd finished with it? Did you leave it on the floor so that your younger brother or sister could come along and just smash it up? Well, no, I hope you sort of put it somewhere safe, or you played with it, or it had pride of place somewhere, but you made sure it didn't get broken or damaged because you were pleased with what you'd made. You were proud of what you'd done. It belonged to you. And we belong to him. And God will not disown us. God will not abandon us. In 2018, God is not going to get bored with you and move on to somebody else. You belong to him and he treasures you. But the second picture, there's a picture of the potter, but there's also the picture of God as a shepherd. He forms us, but then he's also the God who keeps us. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. God is the shepherd and we are the sheep. And the picture here is of us being protected and cared for and of God providing for us the things that we need. Sheep, I think, are about as dumb as you can get, aren't they, as animals? If you think of a stupid animal, I guess sheep comes right up there. There's not a lot going on with a sheep. But that's how the Lord compares us, and they need a shepherd to lead them to good pasture. They need a shepherd to be kept safe, and that's exactly what we need in the year ahead as well. In 2018, God will give us what we need, and he will keep us safe. Give us what we need, and he'll keep us safe. What we need won't necessarily be what we think we need. That could be very different. I think I need this to go well, or that to be worked out, or this new thing, or that particular experience. And God might say, no, none of that is any good for you at all, but I've got better for you. God's always got better for us. God never gives second best. You've never, ever once had second best from God. He's never once given you hand-me-downs. He's never once recycled gifts for you. That's not the way God works. It may not be what we want in 2018, but it will always be what we need. Always what we need. And then he'll keep us safe. He'll protect us. And safe. Safe won't necessarily look like no problems or difficulties or challenges. It won't mean no surgery. Won't necessarily mean no exams or no breakups or no tears or no funerals. But safe means he'll be there. Safe means he will not allow anything that is not ultimately for good. So we're his. We belong to him. If we're looking to Christ, if we're trusting in Christ, we're part of his people, and that will continue to be true into 2018. If he's worked his grace in you, that is not going to stop as the calendar ticks over. Can you see this morning what God is encouraging us with as we step into a new year? What is the greatest thing we need to know about the year ahead? It is to know that he is God, that he is the one, that we belong to him, and that he'll give us all we need, and he'll keep us from harm. And what does the psalmist say to do as we grasp that, as we get hold of that? What does he say to do? Well, he gives us the other six commands. Once we know he is God, once we know we belong to him, then that should just issue in joyful praise and thanksgiving and just heartfelt thanks. That's how we need to walk our way through 2018. Looking up and praising God for being good. Looking out and thanking God for all of his gifts to us. G.K. Chesterton once wrote that the worst moment for the atheist is when he is really thankful and he's got nobody to thank. He said that by contrast, the saint can be said to mix all of his thoughts with thanks because we know that they are gifts. All goods look better when they are realised to be gifts. In 2018, we've got the joy of having somebody to thank in this year ahead. All goods look better when they look like gifts. We just need to keep reminding ourselves of God's gifts and looking out for them and seeing them. So let me give you one practical way to do that. I mentioned this once before a few years back in a sermon, but what about this year taking really active notes of God's gifts to us? What about actively looking out for the way that God is showing us his favour and his mercy? Anne Voskamp is an author. She's got a beautiful redemptive story that I will share with you, I hope, at some point in the near future. But one of her books is called A Thousand Gifts. It's the story of how, over a period of time, she just writes down 1,000 gifts that she received from God. She was somebody wrestling with bitterness in her life. She'd known a lot of suffering in her life, and this active thankfulness was part of her just stopping, looking down and in, and looking out and up, and being thankful to God. And the things that she recorded day to day were not massive things. They were just everyday things. They were just the tiny details of life that she began to notice. Things like a pair of tights without ladders. Men, you can ask your wives later why that really matters a lot. Things like new toothbrushes. Things like moonlight on a pillow. You see, she deliberately slowed herself down and she started to take time to notice. And as she did that, she experienced deeper gratitude for all the many gifts that God had given to her. And in that, she experienced more of God himself. What about doing that for 2018? Starting a notebook of noting down one gift from God each day that you see. Using that to spur you on in praise and thankfulness. All of us in the room could do that. From the littlest to the oldest, to just note down one thing of God's active gifts to us, noticing what God is doing constantly, thanking him, praising him for that. So firstly then, looking up and knowing that God is great. Secondly, looking forward and knowing God is good. Verse 5. There's a bit of a niggle that could be in our heads and our hearts from verses 1 to 4. Yes, we know the Lord is God. That's good. Yes, we realise that we belong to him. Yes, we realise he keeps us safe. Yes, we realise he gives us what we need. But here's the niggle. What if all of that changes? What if something interrupts that and breaks that? People in this room have had those in the past that we've relied on and we were confident in, and they've let us down. We had somebody who we thought was our best friend who suddenly turned around and said they didn't want to be friends anymore. Some of us have lost relationship with family members. Some of us have trusted a leader and we found out they weren't who we thought they were. Can we rely on God? Can we be confident in God? Can we trust him this morning? Well, verse 5 says, yes, you can. Yes, you can be confident in God. And there are three truths in verse 5 that help us with that, that help us to look forward into 2018 with great assurance and confidence. First, the Lord is good. So he is God and he is great, but he is also good. He has the might, he has the strength, he has the power, but he's good with that. He uses his power and his authority in a good way. It would be terrifying if God were not also good, if he were that great and not also good. So important to know he never abuses his power. All his decisions are driven by goodness. There's no corruption in him. Secondly, his love endures forever. And that's vital as well. His love endures forever. He's not going to run out of steam in 2018. He's not going to fade or fail. Leaders come and go, don't they? Political parties rise and fall. I suspect few of us in the room today could name the Prime Minister who was in power 200 years ago, even 100 years ago. Most of us couldn't know who that, don't know who that was. Sometimes leaders get overthrown. Sometimes they've run their course. But eventually, all leaders get replaced. That's inevitable. But God's not retiring in 2018. God is not stepping down. He's not abdicating. He's not giving up his throne. He's not doing that. It's not going to get too much for him. His love endures forever. He will continue, and he'll continue to be good. He's not going to fade or fail. And then thirdly, his faithfulness continues through all generations. God is not going to fade, but also he's not going to get fickle. He's not going to be flaky about stuff. For 2018, some of us will have plans about what we're going to do, about resolutions we're going to try and take forward, about new hobbies we're going to try and take up. And come March or April, some of those things will have stuck, but many of them will not have happened. This past year, I set 10 different things I was setting out to do in 2017. 10 different things. I've managed 2 of them properly, 1 of them almost, and the other 7 miles away. That's my record. Some of them I just didn't apply myself enough to get those things done. But God will not be fickle in 2018. God will not lose focus. God will not lose interest. He's committed to his people. The people he's made. 2018 is not the year when God gives up on you. 2018 is not the year when the Lord says, I just don't want to do this anymore. 2018 is not the year when the Lord says, I'm going to let them get on with it and they can just do it on their own. 2018 is the year when whatever else happens, God will be good. God's love will endure and his faithfulness will continue, as it has done throughout the generation. Friends, how do we know that's not just words? How do we know that's not just Psalm 100, nice aspiration, great idea, but how do we know it's true? Because of one Friday morning. Because of one moment when time stood still and the darkness came down, and when every angel in heaven held their breath as the Son of God was beaten and stripped naked and when he was nailed to the cross. God is so committed to his people, so committed to you, Christian, this morning, that he would die for you, that he would give his son to be cursed instead of us, to die in their place on account of their sin. God is committed to you in blood. That's his commitment to you. Whatever comes your way in 2018, it comes not just through the mighty, powerful hands of God, it also comes through the blood-stained, nail-printed hands of the Lord Jesus. And that is true whether it feels good or whether it feels rubbish, whether it's all that you dreamed of or whether it's the thing that you dreaded. It comes to you through hands that were nailed to a cross for you. Guys, this morning we can know that the Lord is great and the Lord is good. 2018, I have no idea what that is the year of in the Chinese calendar, but I know it's this. It's the year of God's greatness and it's the year of God's goodness, whatever else it will be. So as we begin a new year together, let us look up and look out and see the greatness of God and be filled with joyful praise and thankfulness as we do that, and to look forward seeing the goodness of God. Walking into 2018 with trust and confidence, because whatever else the year brings, God is going to be pursuing us in love and faithfulness, and doing that through nail-printed hands. Let me pray for us. Why don't I just give you a moment just to think about the things that God has been saying to you and what he wants you to do about that, and then I'll lead us in prayer. Father, thank you so much for being able to gather this morning and to be reminded of your greatness and your goodness. Father, if those two things really sealed in our hearts this year, if we knew that you are great and you're good and you're with us, Father, Lord, that would be enough for this year. That would be enough, because we would see you in greater clarity, our circumstances in greater perspective, our struggles with greater confidence. So, Father, please keep lifting our eyes up and out. Give us eyes to look forward and to see all that you've done, to look back with gratitude, but to look forward with great expectation of all that you continue to do. Father, thank you that the great destiny is known, whether that is in 2018 or years and years to come. Thank you that the great destiny of your son returning is known and fixed and certain, and Lord, we look forward to that great day. But as we do so, help us to keep our eyes fixed on the throne above. That, Lord, with greater view of what is going on in heaven, we'd be better equipped and better ready to serve you here on earth as we work and witness, as we worship you, our God. Father, seal the lessons of this psalm in our heart this morning, because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.